Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're here this morning, those of you who are gathered here in the sanctuary, and those of you who are watching from home. This is a beautiful October morning, a beautiful, chillier October morning, and glad that you've come out to enjoy the sunshine and to enjoy this gathering in person, those of you who are here, as the congregation and friends of this particular United Methodist Church. Today we're talking about the ways that we are called by God to stand in the various gaps, and we'll explore that a bit, look at what our calling is, and this month especially we have all kinds of different ways to remind us of that. During the sermon today, we'll have the first in a series of folks who will talk about various missions. Paige Ahmed, who has our heads a refugee ministry, will be talking. And then we're setting it up for the 29th, which is when we have our big stewardship Sunday, and Bishop Ken Carter will be here, and we'll have a meal afterwards, and Patrick will say more about that in a little bit. But this month, we really do look at so many places of our mission responsibilities, and we also look at the places where our values are being expressed, and that is that we will practice inclusion. And so next week, we'll have arriving, as of tomorrow, various folks from the Reconciling Ministries Network so we can host a major American conference here. And we have our refugee ministry. We have so many different ways that we practice inclusion and promote justice as well. And both of those ministries are part of that. And then practicing the arts, we have it in so many different ways, and there'll be a calendar coming out with all of the various ways that we will be celebrating the arts in Charlotte. And this week is particularly chaotic. We have Opera Carolina rehearsing and then taking down their rehearsal stuff so that RMN can be here, and then they'll put it back up. So it's this day when we just have all kinds of activity going on. And that's who we are, and that's who we celebrate, and that's one of the ways that we stand in the gap. So be centered, welcome, and let's continue our worship of God. Please stand in body or spirit. God is ever present and never leaves us. Keep us seeking after that which is true. A tenacious presence in whatever our reality. Our first hymn, For the Healing of the Nations, number 428 in the United Methodist Hymnal.
May be seated if the children would like to join me up here. Good morning. My name is Skylar Shigoda. I am the Director of Children, Youth, and Families here at First UMC. It's so good to see all of you this morning. A few reminders I'm going to point you to in your bulletin. First is that in 2 weeks, we all get the opportunity, the family ministries, to go camping at Kings Mountain. You have 1 week left to RSVP for that. If you don't want to camp outside, totally understandable, but you are welcome to join us all day Saturday for hiking and fun fire activities, all that stuff. And then the Sunday of the month, Stewardship Sunday, I know you will all want to come back because you all get to sing in church and there's a bounce house. So come back for the bounce house. Good morning. How are we? Good. How are there so many of you? I love this. All right. So where are we at right now? Church, awesome. Yep, we're right. Do you know what's behind you? Do you know what that's called? Altar? Good job. Altar, what are some other names for church? Do we know?
Rainbow Church.
Rainbow Church, I like that. What did you think, Colin? You forgot? Chapel, that's a great name. We sometimes call this?
Theater.
Hold on. What do you think, Wells?
Sometimes I like to call it tiny pieces of glass because the windows are made of tiny pieces of glass.
Sometimes we like to call it tiny pieces of glass place because there's tiny pieces of glass. What else do we call it? House of God or House of Jesus? Yes. Sometimes we call it the sanctuary. Sometimes we call it church. Sometimes we call it God's house, Rainbow Church. We have lots of names for this place. And we want to make sure that all people feel welcome because this is God's place. And we feel like all people should be welcome and invited and should feel safe. So today, our Bible story, we are moving on to the New Testament in our fall series. And we get to learn about when Jesus was around some of y'all's ages. And Jesus went to the house of God. And learned and learned and learned and taught and listened because it was a safe place for him. Okay, so we're going to go learn about that story today and have some other fun. So can we pray? Then we'll go off to Children's Church. Repeat after me, please. Dear God, thank you so much for church, our sanctuary, and a place of peace. Help us grow. Help us learn. Help us love you more. Amen. All right, let's go off to Children's Church.
Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for all who have taught us the faith and who teach us still. This faith that is a firm foundation for our lives and our life together. We pray that you will continue to guide and bless the church in yet another time of change. Help us to trust in you so strongly that we are willing to take risks for the gospel. Even if in risking, we grow uncomfortable or afraid of uncertainty and newness. Keep us moving in concert with the Holy Spirit. Give your church wisdom to discern sound teaching. Never let us be satisfied with easy answers that do not follow your way. We bring to you, O God, the concerns and cares of the world around us. Especially, we pray for those who long for justice and freedom, safety and sustenance. We pray for those who work to overturn laws that oppress, and those who work to restrain military might that threatens human dignity. We pray for people caught in unjust systems, those being denied education and health care, victims of human trafficking, exiles who wander, lonely for home. We pray for all who live daily with food insecurity and job insecurity and peace insecurity. We pray fervently for an end to war and violence among us. We pray for an end to hunger and for an increase in generosity as we share the world's resources. We pray for all who are in harm's way today, whether the threat is from natural disaster or political failures. O God, our judge and our redeemer, we cry to you day and night. Help us, O God. We bring to you the cares and joys of our lives. We rejoice with those among us who celebrate a time of newness and renewal, for a new addition to the family, for a new relationship bringing a sense of happiness and fun, for meaningful work to do and good colleagues, for new members and visitors among us who bring energy and ideas and faith stories that enrich our life together, for healing and hope after a difficult time. We pray too for those in the midst of struggle and pain, those who are contending with illness, ones in need of the comfort and peace that only you, O Lord, can give. We pray for those who are living with the anxiety of loss, of income, of memory, or stability of home, or friendship. Heal us of our diseases, strengthen us in our frailties, and empower us for change. We do not cry out in desperation, but in hope. For you are just in all your ways, and you hear us when we call upon you. We pray that in us you may indeed find faith, the faith of our Savior, Jesus Christ, living in us. As we pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. This morning, our Psalter is selected verses from Psalm 106, and I direct your attention to the bulletin as we share this responsively, and the congregational responses are in bold print. Hallelujah. Because he's good, because his love lasts. Declaim God's mighty acts. Broadcast all his praises. One happy woman when you form the habit of justice. Include me when you save them. Celebrate with your celebrating nation. We've sinned a lot. And worshipped the statue they'd made. For a cheap piece of sculpture, a grass-chewing bull. Who turned things around in Egypt. Who gave that stunning performance at the Red Sea. And except for Moses, his chosen, he would have. Amen. And we continue with a Hebrew Bible reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, beginning with verse 1. The people saw that Moses was taking a long time to come down from the mountain. They gathered around Aaron and said to him, Come on, make us gods who can lead us. As for this man Moses who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't have a clue what has happened to him. Aaron said to them, All right, Take out the gold rings from the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took out the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He collected them and tied them up in cloth. Then he made a metal image of a bull calf, and the people declared, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf. Then Aaron announced, "Tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord." They got up early the next day and offered up entirely burnt offerings and brought well-being sacrifices. The people sat down to eat and drink and then got up to celebrate. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Hurry up and go down. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, are ruining everything. They've already abandoned the path that I commanded. They have made a metal bull calf for themselves. They've bowed down to it and offered sacrifices to it and declared, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I've been watching these people, and I've seen how stubborn they are. Now leave me alone. Let my fury burn and devour them. Then I'll make a great nation out of you." But Moses pleaded with the Lord his God, "Lord, why does your fury burn against your own people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and amazing force? Why should the Egyptians say he had an evil plan to take the people out and kill them in the mountains and so wipe them off the earth? Calm down your fierce anger. Change your mind about doing terrible things to your own people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, whom you yourself promised, 'I'll make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky.' And I've promised to give your descendants this whole land to possess for all time." Then the Lord changed his mind about the terrible things he said he would do to his people. Amen. This is the word of God for the whole world. Thanks be to God. And we continue with hymn 2172 in the Faith We Sing, "We Are Called."
Oh,
please be seated, and I'm going to ask Paige to come on up and join me here. She'll be stepping up to speak in a moment. And as she comes up, let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for calling us. Help us now to understand and discern your call to each of us and to all of us. Amen. You can have a seat right there, and then I'll... So, this morning, a cold morning, the coldest that we've had in quite a while. And as usual, we had our muffin ministry. And as we've said, for the past several months, we've been getting more and more people on Sunday mornings for breakfast. And this morning, when the door opened at 8 o'clock, there was a mass of people waiting to get in, and they came in very, very quickly, probably again over 200 by the time it was all said and done. And coming in, they'd obviously been gathering there, awaiting this space that would be warm and welcoming, and they could get some hot coffee and hot breakfast and a place to sit down for a while. Five or six of them came in without a jacket or a coat or a sweatshirt or even long sleeves. They were hoping to pick something up because we do have a clothing closet as well. There were just a few items there for winter in the clothing closet, and they went very quickly. So this is the call again. As you're getting prepared for this colder weather and you find things that you're no longer going to wear that are still usable, please bring them on in because somebody can use them, especially the warm clothes and especially in sizes large, medium large, extra large. We need those and shoes in good condition. So they come in, as they do every week, for respite for just a moment, for warmth for just a moment. And we can't help but thinking once again, for how long? How long have we been doing this? How long have we been hoping and praying and working so that homelessness will be eradicated in our community and across the country, across the world? And even as there are more and more homes being made available that are affordable, even as more and more attention in the county is being paid towards this incredible need, yet there are more and more people experiencing such great need. So how long? It's a question we ask, and we keep on going. We keep on doing. Muffin Ministry, with all the work it encompasses, all that goes into it, all the volunteers that show up every Sunday morning and during the week, all of that goes on. We stand in the gap. We stand in that gap between what is and what ought to be. In the gap between what is the reality for so many right now, and what is the ideal that we proclaim as we proclaim God's imminent presence with us and God's calling us towards justice and towards actions which would change the realities for those most vulnerable among us. Standing in the gap. It's a wonderful image that comes from the Bible. It's written in Ezekiel where God is looking for somebody as a wall is being breached. And you remember in biblical times, the cities were fortified. There were walls built. And people would go to war with each other. And if there was a breach in the wall, people would have to come with their own bodies to fill in that gap, to make sure that those that were coming to eradicate the town were held back until fortifications could be done. standing in the gap. And then today, in today's reading, we have a different use of standing in the gap, which is Moses standing in the gap between God and God's people, interceding. God is angry with the people in today's reading, and Moses says, God, you can't do this. These are your people that you created. Moses intercedes on behalf and then goes down the mountain and cleans things up once again. So we have these two ideas of what standing in the gap means. It is intercessory prayer, and it is using your body for the good of the whole, to stand in the gap, to be able to be that shield, especially for the most vulnerable. Some of you may remember the story of the little Dutch boy that was told in Hans Brinker, but is one of those myths from Holland where there's levees all around, and you have this heroic story of a little boy who saw a leak in the levee and put his finger over the leak and held back the flood until help could arrive and fix it. That's what standing in the gap can feel like sometimes, that there's this tremendous surge coming forth and just this little bit of something holding back disaster. We stand in solidarity through action. We stand in the gap and in solidarity with those who are most vulnerable, called in this congregation to be advocates, to be voices for those who have no voice. To be advocates, to be allies, is for the long haul. We know that change doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't even happen sometimes over the years or over the decades. But we are still compelled and called to advocate, to be allies, to educate ourselves, to educate each other through the challenges and through the frustrations. And that's what I feel a lot, is frustration when things continue to go wrong or policies continue to be made that are so unfair. Several years ago, as we started our refugee ministry, before it even officially was supposed to start, we were asked to begin because there were emergency groups of people coming from Iraq. It was the early 2017. And one of our first, in fact, our first family, the family of Hamid Darwish, came, and Hamid was detained in New York City because as they flew over, the president called for the travel ban. And so there had to be the intervention of Supreme Court in order to get that ban lifted, in order for us to get our family early and several families after that. And in the Connect service, we put up our signs that showed that we were advocates, advocates for refugees, advocates for those who were being run from their homes, who had no homes. We would open our home. And then this week, we find out that the wall has been built, or it's been ordered to be continued to be built. So frustrating. How long? How long will this happen? And so we're called once again to be allies, to be advocates. So I wrote to our president and said, how can you be doing this again? And I'm sure many of you did as well. It's just a continual challenge, a continual frustration. We are called again and again and again to continue in this arc towards justice. And one of those things that we are called to continue in is our refugee ministry. And so Paige is going to speak to that. One of the bright lights of our congregation is our refugee ministry, and Paige has been instrumental over these years in making that happen, as so many of you have been instrumental as well. So I asked her to speak a little bit on this.
As Val said, we started our ministry about 7 years ago. So First United Methodist has been standing in the gap for refugees in the Charlotte community for a little over 7 years. We've helped folks from Syria, Iraq, El Salvador, Pakistan, Afghanistan, the Congo, Ukraine, and many informally through Mi Amigo, which is a network for migrants that are crossing the border. With that, there's many things that this congregation has done. I look out here and I see many faces who have helped, from serving meals at the bus station, providing communication to those who did not speak English at the bus station with the migrants, to those who provided transportation to our formal refugees, meaning when I say formal ones that we actually started a mentor relationship with through Catholic Charities. There's many things that we get to go through in touching those folks, and we just have to think about, you know, they have been failed in so many ways. They've been failed by their own government. They've been failed by oftentimes humanity as a whole. And when they come here, they look for a beacon of bright light, and we hope to be that beacon of bright light for them. Unfortunately, as many of you know, our government sometimes fails them as well. So we try to, again, stand in the gap for that, help them navigate through social services, help them navigate through the education system, find the resources that they need for their children, for their families to be successful in the United States. We help fill in the gaps that the resettlement agencies have. Unfortunately, they're not as well funded or well staffed as we would hope that they would be. So we are really more than a mentor, we're more like arms of those agencies in providing those services and those resources for those refugees. And lastly, community resources. I spoke to our liaison at Catholic Charities this week, and I had not realized this, that CPCC no longer offers ESL classes. So there's a gap in the community in providing ESL, which is really a key integral part to get them to assimilate and be successful within our community and within their new country. With that being said, we've had successes within our refugee communities. We have two families, one from Syria, one from Pakistan. They're actually homeowners, which, as you all know, that is a quite big bridge to cross, to come over into home ownership. Our latest celebration, I should say, is the father of the Syrian family, Nasir, has completed his cyber boot camp at UNCC and is looking for gainful employment. So if anybody knows anybody that's looking for any sort of cybersecurity professionals, he is certified in that. And UNCC is obviously helping him look for that as well. The other thing that I think that we really need to look at right now and where we really are calling for help is, we have had lots of help in monetary and feet on the ground contributions from this congregation, but we really need them at this point. With the cost of housing in the Charlotte area and many communities across the United States, the refugees that are being resettled are not settled in the inner city sort of communities that they were initially, which made it fairly easy. Easy in us helping them because they were relatively close to us. Easy in the fact that they were able to secure transportation through public transportation. Within the last year to six months to a year, I should say, most of the refugees that have been received in Charlotte are being resettled out in more like the Mint Hill, Matthews, even further out because of the housing situation. And in those areas, there are very limited or no ability for public transportation whatsoever. So that really puts a damper on their ability to be sustained in their own community. When you talk about being able to secure basic needs such as food, health care, ability to find those ESL classes that may be in community places within where they live, and being able to secure transportation there, to be able to secure transportation to their actual workplaces, or to secure workplaces that they will be able to get to. So what we're doing is calling out and asking for renewed resources within that. People that might be able to open up their hearts and help fill in the gaps that we have within our own ministry here at First United Methodist, to be able to provide some of those things. And lastly, I wanted to say is that last week when talking with our mentor as well, we have an opportunity to help an additional family. I think this really will speak to everybody's heart, knowing what a refugee might encounter, that they have, you know, as I said before, been failed by so many different places, their own government, humanity as a whole, even the U.S. government when they get here. There's a family that needs our help. They're located in the Mithil area. They're from the Sudan region. They are not English speakers, but do want to learn. They speak Arabic, which thankfully one of our previous refugee families has offered to help with, as they're Arabic speakers, and they've offered to help with some of the needs of this family. But the biggest need I see here is they're a young family with two children, and the father has blood cancer. So he's currently going through treatment while trying to, you know, get acclimated into a totally new environment, trying to, you know, keep his family together, get them supported, get them to where they can be sustaining and productive members of society. So if there's anybody here in the congregation today that's interested in helping out, I would ask you to please contact me either after the service, or you can always reach me at my email address, which is pretty straightforward. It's Paige, P-A-I-G-E, dot Ahmed, A-H-M-E-D, at gmail.com. And I just ask you, how will you stand in the gap for our refugee ministry? Thank you.
Thank you, Paige. This is a ministry that we've been doing formally since 2017, but this congregation also was doing years ago with other groups. We housed Cambodian ministries here and helped with the Cambodian settlement. It's something that's in our DNA, and so thank you all for your continued work. And thank you for the knowledge that this work is going to go on for a long, long time. It's not going to be solved anytime soon. And that's where the notion of intercession comes in, and the notion of congregational support. One of the things that happens when we work together, and when we work in partnership now with St. Peter Catholic Church for some of these families, is that when I can't do something, somebody else can. And this also goes for prayer. When we can't do something, we can always pray. When we lose our energy, somebody else has it. That's the way it works in our Christian community. We pray to God and we serve God by serving each other. And sometimes that's hard, and sometimes we start to wonder, how long, Lord, and if we can go on, and if it matters anyway. One of our clergy colleagues this week in his blog, this is Greg Jarrell, his blog is called Trespasses of the Holy. He wrote about how tired he is getting and dispirited in so many ways, and he's not sure what, if anything, he believes in anymore, even though he is still pastoring a church. And he says, in the meantime, I keep showing up. It feels hollow, but I show up anyway. You've probably heard folks describe themselves as spiritual, but not religious. This usually seems to mean that someone wants to hold on to certain spiritual practices, but they don't want to be held by religious institutions. I understand, kind of, but I've become the reverse, religious, but not spiritual. I do not know how to pray. I envy people moved by music and church, but I feel little, if anything. Dr. King confesses a faith where the moral arc of the universe, though it is long, bends toward justice. I see little reason to believe such a thing. I keep reading the scriptures, but I long ago stopped filling journals with meditations on what I was reading. But what I have, I give. I show up. I go through the motions. I'll let those across time and space who believe hold me, since I cannot muster it for myself. That's what we do. We hold one another so that when your faith is strong, you're holding up somebody whose faith is waning and vice versa. We can make a difference. The little that we do over and over and over again does make a difference. You all know the story of the starfish, where the waves come in and wash ashore all of these starfish that are on the sand, on the beach, and a little child is picking them up and flinging them back into the water. And somebody comes and says, "Why are you doing that? You can't make a difference with all of this." And the child picks another one and says, "I'll make a difference to this one," and throws it. That's what we do. We make the difference one by one, standing in the gap, even as we are working together over the long haul for changes that would ensure justice and equity. Thank you all for your work in this, and thank you all for your continued faith and your continued ability to hold one another up. It's what keeps all of us going. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I would also like to add my word of gratitude to Paige and to all who have served in any capacity in our refugee resettlement ministries these past several years. Just before the offering, I want to share a bit more about all those announcements near the back of your bulletin. It's coming into the busy middle part of October. We look forward to welcoming Bishop Cedric Bridgeforth to the pulpit at our church next Sunday. It will be the normal First United Methodist service with lots and lots of friends and guests from the Reconciling Ministries Network convocation that will be happening the latter part of the week and into the weekend. So when you're parking to come into church next Sunday, do not be alarmed if the parking garage looks a little fuller and the sanctuary quite a bit fuller. We are going to have our regular church service with lots of special guests who are here in town, and they've been working hard on a worship service that will be very fitting for the convocation and for us, First United Methodist, as well. Looking back, there's a page with Bishop Carter. He's going to be speaking the last Sunday of the month, and on that page, there's a chance to respond, if you have a smartphone, to reserve your lunch for the 29th of October. It's our celebration luncheon, and also there's a QR code for the estimate of giving card for 2024. You can also just fill out a menu response and rip it out and turn it in the offering plate in just a minute, if you'd like to go low-tech on that. The very back is the poinsettia order form. Jill Bond is here this morning and can answer any questions. Yes, it's an early reservation deadline that was required by our wholesaler, but they're going to be good plants, and it's going to be a wonderful, beautiful addition to our sanctuary during the Sundays of Advent, but we just have to do it in the next several weeks. So take a look at this, and please, if you're able, give a poinsettia in honor or in memory of a loved one, and we will look forward to the splash of color that provides in our sanctuary in December. Thank you for your continuing generosity, your giving that support the ministries of our church. I would like to invite our ushers to come forward now as we prepare to give this morning's tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
God of generous providing, you have given us so many gifts that enrich our lives. We belong to you, and all that we have belongs to you. Use these offerings, we pray, in service of the justice you are establishing through your reign in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We close with hymn 436 in the United Methodist Hymnal, "The Voice of God is Calling."
Now go from this place knowing that we are called. We're called to live in the light. We're called to sing a new song, to show God's love and mercy with the world, with each other, and with ourselves. And so go knowing that God goes with us, continuing to create, to redeem, and to sustain us now and forevermore. Amen.